Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program, blessed to be here with you today on this beautiful fall day that the Lord has made. Thanks so much for joining me in this Respect Life Month that is also dedicated to the Most Holy Rosary. Well, I thought we'd spend this time today going through some noteworthy news items that you may have missed. Certainly, there is always so much going on, and it can be very difficult to keep up with the rapid changes. So I thought it would be good to highlight some of the more important things to help you keep apprised of how the battle between the culture of life and the culture of death is going, and of any new sinister deeds that are trying to be pushed forward. Hopefully, then, you can direct some of your prayers, penances, and sufferings towards these intentions, helping to build up a culture of life, not only right here in Bloomington, but throughout the world. But before we go any further, let's begin in prayer. Father, all life is in your care. You have entrusted us to one another that we may show our brothers and sisters the same love you have for us. We pray then for the least among us, the children in the womb. Protect them from the violence of abortion. We pray for all those unborn children who are scheduled to die this day in abortion centers across this country and throughout the world. Save them from death. Give new hope to their parents that they may turn away from the desperate act of abortion. Grant conversion to abortionists and to their staff. Show us how we are to respond to this bloodshed in our midst, and lead us to the day when these places of death will be transformed into havens of life. Guard us with your joy and your peace, for in you life is victorious. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. This past Wednesday, a district court judge issued a temporary restraining order blocking the newly enacted Texas law that bans abortion once an unborn baby's heartbeat can be detected. A person's right under the Constitution to choose to obtain an abortion prior to fetal viability is well established, wrote U.S. District Judge Robert Pittman, fully aware that depriving its citizens of this right by direct state action would be flagrantly unconstitutional, and the state of Texas contrived an unprecedented and transparent statutory scheme to do just that, Pittman said. Judge Pittman, who in his 113-page ruling berated Texas for, quote, deliberately circumventing the traditional process, close quote, was appointed to the federal bench by former President Barack Obama in 2011. The Texas Heartbeat Act is unique in that it enforces the abortion ban by charging private citizens with the right to sue violators of the law. Texas officials have already asked the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals for a reversal of Judge Pittman's decision, and a stay is likely to be granted as the circuit court has previously upheld the heartbeat law. Operation Rescue is reporting that since the law took effect on September 1st, Texas abortion facilities have seen an 80% decrease in business. And in another sign of a world gone mad, a Pennsylvania House Democrat has introduced legislation that will enforce so-called reproductive responsibility among men by forcing them to undergo vasectomies within 6 weeks of having their third child or their 40th birthday, whichever comes first. Christopher Rabb defended his communistic actions by saying that, quote, as long as state legislatures continue to restrict the reproductive rights of cis women, trans men, and non-binary people, there should be laws that address the responsibility of men who impregnate them, close quote. In response to Rabb's horrendous bill, Pennsylvania Representative David Rowe took to Facebook saying, a legislator from Philadelphia has just introduced legislation that would limit how many children your family could have, dictate what age you could have a family, family and would issue a $10,000 fine for refusing to submit to forced sterilization after having three children. As a fourth-born child myself, I would have never existed under this law, and neither would so many others, Rose said. This bill will never see the light of day as long as Republicans control the House. But I wanted you all to be aware how quickly policies that belong to communist China would become the norm here if Democrats seized total control of state government, Roe concluded. And finally, there were no abortions performed this past week at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, marking the second week in a row that unborn children were not killed there. 40 Days for Life is well underway here in Bloomington and in hundreds of other cities throughout the world. As of this past Monday, 135 babies have been saved from the violence of abortion, with a couple more hopefully having been spared here in Bloomington as well. Lots of help is still needed to cover hours this weekend, and you can go to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington to see which hours are still open. Thank you in advance for your generosity and prayers. And that's your weekly in the news. The Pharisees and Sadducees came and, to test Jesus, asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He said to them in reply, "In the evening you say, 'Tomorrow will be fair, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today will be stormy, for the sky is red and threatening.' You know how to judge the appearance of the sky, but you cannot judge the signs of the times." Well, I thought about those words of our Savior when, just hours after Mexico's top court decriminalized the killing of unborn children, a 7.1 magnitude earthquake struck the country's Pacific Coast city of Acapulco. It was on the eve of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and oh, the sorrowful irony here, that, relying extensively on the opinions and recommendations of UN human rights experts, Mexico's Supreme Court justices unanimously struck down the criminal abortion laws of the state of Coahuila. Now, it's not quite clear just how sweeping the court's decision will be, but some are saying that it's pretty bad, and that the ruling effectively grants a right to abortion on demand up to the point of birth. Interestingly enough, in addition to kowtowing to the UN's position that abortion is a human right, the Mexican justices also cited the decisions of foreign courts, including our own U.S. Supreme Court's 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, which declared abortion a constitutional right in the U.S. and was the first judicial ruling of its kind in the world. So you see, what we do here in the U.S. has implications throughout the world. The U.S. allows abortion, so we should too, the thinking goes. Now, the great pro-life and pro-family organization CFAM noted how in 2009, the Mexican High Court declined to follow the opinions of UN human rights experts, who were even then urging the country to liberalize its abortion laws. At that time, the Mexican High Court dismissed them as non-binding. But over the past 10 years or so, intense pressure has been placed on Mexico by the UN. And one can't help but wonder about the level of badgering on the subject, to put it mildly, our southern neighbor has had to endure ever since Joe Biden and his administration came into office. At any rate, the peer pressure became too much, and the country that is home to Our Lady of Guadalupe caved. To make matters worse, all 10 of the justices were careful during the debate and in their writings to refer to abortion as being a right for both women and gestating persons, meaning women who think they are men or some other made-up gender, I suppose. Up until now, Mexico has allowed its states to pass their own laws in regards to abortion. 4 have legalized it, and a whopping 28 in the country have banned the life-ending procedure. But now this decision by the Mexico Supreme Court to strike down Coahuila's laws that criminalize abortion will almost certainly be used to slap down pro-life laws across the country. And as I said, just hours after the Mexico Supreme Court delivered this iniquitous ruling, a 7.1 magnitude quake struck near the resort city of Acapulco. It was so strong that it could be felt 200 miles away in Mexico City, where the miraculous Tilma of St. Juan Diego is kept, and the tremor lasted for nearly 1 minute. One person was killed, there were rock slides, and many buildings were damaged. You can watch videos of this event where people fled into the streets as homes and other buildings swayed. And an interesting phenomenon came along with this quake. Brilliant blue lights flashed in the sky, and people took to Twitter with a recording of the event using the hashtag Apocalipsis, which is Spanish for apocalypse or the end of the world. The earthquake and lights really did create quite a stir amongst the Mexican people in that region, but I'm not sure how many went on to make a connection between it and the Supreme Court's decision. But I think we really do need to see it and judge it as a sign of the times. This court decision in Mexico is just the latest in a line of other Latin American countries that have decriminalized abortion in recent years. In fact, last December, Argentina made abortion legal during the first 14 weeks of pregnancy. It's also interesting to note that Mexico's neighbor just to the north, Texas, is actually backtracking on the legality of abortion, trying to now protect the lives of the unborn through its heartbeat bill. Yeah, the signs are all around us that the battle is intensifying greatly, so we need to keep our eyes on Jesus as the little barks of our souls are battered with the ferocious winds and waves of this storm. Now, I mentioned how Roe v. Wade was referenced and used to justify the Mexican High Court's decision to legalize abortion. And the funny thing is that that ruling is being questioned in an upcoming abortion case that the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. Well, on September 19th, the Feast of Our Lady of La Salette, the High Court announced that it will hear arguments for the lawsuit beginning on December 1st. That's the first week of Advent, a time when we are preparing our hearts and minds to celebrate and commemorate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Wow, I wonder if all six of the Catholic Supreme Court justices are making note of this. For many of the faithful, one aspect of Advent involves spending time contemplating Jesus in the womb of his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, before celebrating his sacred birth. Can we not see in this again the signs of the timing? And oh, how we need to pray for our Supreme Court justices that they make room for the Holy Family, especially for little baby Jesus, in their own hearts, and then bravely pave the way for all of society to do so. Let us ponder those words, and there was no room for them in the inn. What a mystery, a sorrowful mystery, that the only begotten Son of God the Father, God of God, light of light, is rejected by so many souls. And where God is rejected, those innocent souls made in his image and likeness, particularly the unborn, are also cast aside. Let us pray that it will be otherwise in this very important case coming up, because the tide really needs to be turned in our country. This lawsuit is a really good test for our nation, especially given that there is a conservative majority in the Supreme Court now. Since Roe v. Wade, we know so much more than we did about life in the womb. And we now have these amazing 3D and 4D ultrasounds that literally give us a view into the life of the child within the womb. As Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, said, it is time to follow the science and modernize our laws. And as I covered on a past program in the Dobbs case, Mississippi is basically arguing that the conclusion that abortion is a constitutional right has no basis in text, structure, history, or tradition. And so individual states should be left to legislate on abortion however they deem best. No doubt the defendants will not only be arguing from a constitutional standpoint, but also from a scientific one, that of the undeniable humanity of the unborn child. This lawsuit, again, is huge, and the court's decision will have immense ramifications for all pro-life laws in our country. This is like a Lepanto battle for our nation, so let's take up our rosaries and get to work in obtaining special graces for all nine of our Supreme Court justices, especially those who are baptized Catholics, that they be given supernatural light so that all darkness is cast out, and along with it, the culture of death. Well, another very sad story that made international headlines among pro-life organizations was the report that came out of England that doctors had recently accidentally aborted the healthy baby instead of the targeted sick baby of a set of twins. So what happened was that the mother of the twin babies was told that one of them had a problem with the placenta and was failing to receive enough nourishment, causing stunted growth. Unfortunately, as medical personnel so often do, they they encourage the mother to selectively abort the sickly twin. Well, for whatever reason, doctors at Birmingham Women's and Children's NHS Foundation ended the life of the wrong twin. The chief medical officer of the hospital released a statement to the press saying that, quote, "A full and comprehensive investigation was carried out swiftly after this tragic case, and the findings were shared with the family, along with our sincere apologies and condolences," close quote. Boy, that seems like whitewashing to me. Do whatever you need to palliate the flaws and failures of the so-called selective abortion. Well, I guess in their minds and by law, even if the incorrect unborn baby was aborted, it was only a tragic mistake and not the murder of an innocent human being. Apparently, 65 of these selective termination abortions were performed in the UK in 2020, where a twin, a triplet, or more were killed in the womb. UK Right to Life reports that a selective abortion in that country usually takes 2 days. The first day generally involves testing to decide which baby will be reduced. The second day involves a procedure where potassium chloride is injected into the heart of the selected baby or babies under the guidance of ultrasound imaging. The result is that the baby suffers a heart attack and dies. It's so hard to imagine how any doctor can do this. And think of the pain that the unborn child goes through. Oh, deliver us, Lord Jesus. Well, even though the chief medical officer called it a tragic case, the incongruity of the intentional killing is lost on her and so many others. It would have still been a devastating occurrence, even if the right twin, the targeted twin, had been killed. Okay, moving on to some things going on in our own country now, let's turn to the new Catholic governor of New York, Kathy Hochul. Hochul, as you are probably aware, replaced the disgraced former governor, who is also a baptized Catholic, Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo was known for signing the Reproductive Health Act into law in January of 2019, with Hochul standing proudly right behind him. That act basically codified Roe v. Wade in New York state law and made abortions legal for any reason up to the moment of birth, paid for by taxpayer dollars. In celebration of the passage of this bill, Cuomo had ordered that several of New York's landmarks be lit up in pink so as to shine a bright light forward for the rest of the nation to follow, he said. Well, since Hochul took office, she has had no problem in following Cuomo's radical ideas about abortion and lighting the way forward for the rest of the country. One of her first public acts as governor has been to offer her state as a refuge for all Texas women who want abortions, and birthing people, of course, because one must not discriminate nor make anyone feel bad. "For women in Texas, they need to know," Hochul proclaimed. "We will help you find a way to New York, and we are right now looking intensely to find what resources we can bring to the table to help you have safe transport here and let you know that there are providers who will assist you in this time of your need." Then invoking the famous and colossal Lady Liberty Enlightening the World statue in Manhattan that evokes a beacon of light and hope to the world, Hochul said to the women of Texas, "You are not alone. Your sisters and brothers, enlightened brothers, in the state of New York will help you in any way we can. Abortion access is safe in New York," Hochul ensured. Yep, just made so by that atrocious Reproductive Act. "The rights of those who are seeking abortion services will always be protected here," the governor said. "To the women of Texas, I want to say I am with you. Lady Liberty is here to welcome you with open arms." So, as a Catholic, instead of invoking the aid of Our Lady, the mother of the author of life, Hochul conjures up Lady Liberty and the diabolical idea that freedom means being able to kill your own unborn child. You know, the one thing in all of Governor Hochul's remarks that really stuck out for me was when she told the women of Texas that the enlightened brothers and sisters of New York were ready to help them kill their unborn children. Hochul was simply calling darkness light and evil good. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "But understand this, there will be terrifying times in the last days. People will be self-centered and lovers of money, pleasure, and so on. They will make a pretense of religion, but deny its power. They will make a pretense of religion, the good book says, which means they will attempt to make something that is not the case to appear true. Reject them, St. Paul says next. Reject them. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. And this true light, which truly enlightens everyone, came into the world, starting out as the tiniest little zygote, embryo, fetus, child in the immaculate womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And ever since then, the devil himself has sought revenge, so to speak, trying his best to go after children in particular because of the fact that it was a divine child in human flesh who stole his kingdom and brought salvation to the world. And one of Satan's favorite techniques to use is deception. The enemy of souls has deceived a great many in these times, and we must not grow weary in praying and fasting for the gift of true enlightenment for all those who have been gravely led astray. Psalm 19 tells us that it is the precepts and commands of the Lord that enlighten the eye. Now, one other thing that Governor Kathy Hochul did recently was to write a letter to the CEO and founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, calling on him and his organization to censor and remove all widespread misinformation regarding abortion. This action, too, came as a result of the Texas heartbeat bill. In the letter, Hochul praised Facebook for helping to lead the way in removing misinformation about the COVID-19 vaccines. So now, Hochul declared, another serious medical issue also needs to be freed of rampant falsehoods and misinformation, she said. The truth is that abortion is a safe, common medical procedure, the governor wrote, and so any fake news on the topic must be rooted out. She especially bemoaned the fact that pro-lifers will often describe horrific procedures that have no basis in reality, she said. Well, once again, the truth is that abortion is a horrific procedure, especially late-term ones. I don't know how you could not call ripping off the arms, legs, and head of a tiny human being horrific, along with the physical and mental damage that is done to the mother. Actually, that word is not even strong enough. Governor Hochul then goes on to say that the only thing that anti-choice groups do is sow confusion and shame. As is the case with so many abortion supporters, the facts need to be buried because they don't support what they stand for. Those who speak the truth about abortion are labeled as liars and haters who must be stopped at all cost. Let's be sure to pray much for Governor Kathy Hochul, begging for the scales to fall from her eyes and that she is truly enlightened. Well, we're getting close to the end here, so let's bring in some truly refreshing and enlightening words that came a few weeks ago from a U.S. Circuit judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit, Amal Roger Topper. He was actually President Trump's first Court of Appeals appointment and was one of those discussed as a candidate for the U.S. Supreme Court. Judge Topper was born in Michigan to a family who had immigrated from India. Now, the bad news is that about mid-September, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals struck down two Tennessee pro-life laws, one that prohibited abortions once an unborn baby's heartbeat could be detected, and the other that banned discriminatory abortions based on the baby's sex, race, or fetal abnormality like Down syndrome. The good news comes in when Judge Amal Topper wrote a 35-page strong and scathing judicial opinion against the court's ruling, asserting that Roe and Casey are wrong as a matter of constitutional text, structure, and history. Under any test for evaluating the historical pedigree of an alleged right, Topper wrote, the right to an abortion does not just miss the mark, it flunks out. No one, including the Roe majority, contends that such a right exists in the text of the Articles of the Constitution, Topper wrote. Instead, jurists and commentators point to the Bill of Rights or the 14th Amendment. But you won't find the word abortion or any equivalent there either. Indeed, many thoughtful legal scholars, including those who support abortion as a policy matter, have expressed skepticism of or outright hostility to the idea idea that the Constitution explicitly provides a right to abortion. The text does not bear it out, Topper said. Judge Topper also brought up the fact that, historically speaking, there never was an affirmative right to abortion in early America. Almost every state and territory had, in fact, passed laws limiting or prohibiting abortion by the end of the 19th century, he wrote. By contrast, the Roe majority did not provide a single example of a state that legally guaranteed an affirmative right to abortion at either the time of the founding or during the Reconstruction era. That silence is not just deafening, it should end the debate, he said. In regards to the undue burden standard for analyzing restrictions on abortion, which had been put forward by the High Court's decision in Planned Parenthood versus Casey in 1992, Judge Topper exposes the foolhardiness of that principle by asking some very good questions. What constitutes an undue burden? How about a substantial obstacle? What's a large fraction? How do you calculate the denominator? What about the numerator? How do we balance a state's interest in preventing fetal pain, safeguarding the unborn child's life, and preserving the integrity of its medical profession with a woman's interest in obtaining an abortion? Should we update the undue burden test as neonatal science teaches us new things? How do you know if a law prohibited a woman from obtaining an abortion or merely persuaded her to choose life? Each of these questions, and there are many more, layers discretion upon discretion. Put any three judges on a panel and you could get three different and equally reasonable answers for each question, Topper wrote. Oh, and precisely, we see this happen all the time. Judge Topper went on, "The undue burden test is hopelessly unworkable in practice, and it is unworkable because it is neither a clear rule nor a judicially manageable standard. The test has the added vice of being untethered from constitutional or statutory text. Instead, it takes judges out of our Article III role and makes us answer questions better left in the hands of legislatures. The founders understood the danger of this, so should we." And then with a seeming nod and appeal to the Supreme Court justices in light of the Dobbs case that is coming up, Judge Topper wrote, "Only the Supreme Court can tow our jurisprudence back to the safe harbor of democratic legitimacy." Justice Holmes once remarked that a page of history is worth a volume of logic. The argument that the Constitution contains a right to abortion has neither. The Constitution leaves decisions like this to the states. The state legislatures can do what we can't: listen to the community, create fact-specific rules with appropriate exceptions, gather more evidence, and update their laws if things don't work properly. And if the public is unhappy, it can fight back at the ballot box. The courts should return this choice to the American people where it belongs. Just some sound judicial scrutiny there from Judge Amal Topper that we can only hope and pray rest likewise in the minds of our conservative Supreme Court justices as they get ready to hear the Dobbs case in December. Well, let's keep praying our rosaries and meditating upon the mysteries, begging Our Lady, the patroness of our country, to intercede for us before the throne of her divine Son, because we sure need some miracles. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.